Jesus didn't say, you know, forgive the person who hurts you if they really deserve it,
right,
or forgive them if you really feel like it, or love your neighbor as yourself as long as it isn't too inconvenient.
Yeah.
He just has these love your neighbor, forgive your neighbor. That and there's a sense that it almost is like that, just do it.
Right.
It is that do it anyway, whether I might feel like it or not. Hi, I'm Pastor Kendall.
And I'm Pastor Mo, and we are Unpacking Truths,
where we unpack God's word and God's truth for life today.
Everyone is seeking, and we're here to help you find hope and power in God's word. All right. So Kendall, we are going to be talking about today, along with all those listening and watching us, do it anyway. That is our topic. It's kind of like the Nike theme, just do it. Do it anyway. Look like Christ. Look like the kingdom of God, regardless of how you're feeling, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how justified you feel or for a certain situation. And so what do you think about that? What do you...
You know, I remember when I first heard the, you know, the Nike motto, and I thought like, what's that about? And I've got to say, Mo, the longer, I don't like to say it this way, but I probably should just be honest. The older I get, the more I see the wisdom of it.
I thought you were going to say like, I can't do it anymore.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm not
going there yet. Not at all. That I do think there is something profound about just do it. Because I think as human beings, we are such good excuse makers.
Yeah.
We are so good at rationalizing why this
I justify
is than,
everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I learned scripture, so I can use it to justify.
It is one of the greatest, unfortunately, one of the greatest things humans do. We justify what we want to believe or do or think. So I think that do it anyway, just do it. I think there's even deeper, profound wisdom than Nike intended when they chose that as their motto.
Live into the person you think you are, right? Like live into who you really want to be with
and
your
God
actions.
And who God's called you to be.
Absolutely.
So I think some of where we're going in this, but we'll meander a little bit as always, is just that whole sense of, you know, Jesus didn't say, you know, forgive the person who hurts you if they really deserve it.
Right.
Or forgive them if you really feel like it. Or love your neighbor as yourself as long as it isn't too inconvenient.
Yeah.
He just has these love your neighbor, forgive your neighbor. That and there's a sense that it almost is like that, just do it.
Right.
It is that do it anyway, whether I might feel like it or not. And I just, there's a woman I know who, from a previous congregation, and she just taught me something so wise. She was in a recovery journey, and she had been divorced, and she said someone had really told her about where Jesus had said, pray for those who persecute you.
Yeah,
and
that's a hard
one. She felt like her husband had persecuted her in that journey of through the divorce. And so she said, I literally started praying for my soon-to-be ex-husband, like, that, and then she would like say a series of expletives and then say, but God, I want you to bless him. And she said, the more I kept actually praying for him, even though it was the last thing I wanted to
do,
she said, you wouldn't believe it, Kendall. She said, but my heart started to change.
It does. It's crazy. But when you pray for your, you know, enemies, right? Like those who are hurting you. At first your prayer kind of sounds, you know, a little Old Testament-y, like, God, bring down your wrath, you know, bash the heads against the rocks. But then it changes. It's like, you know what, God, I want you to just open their heart, like be with them, give them peace. Like it changes from like, here are the ways I want you to change them and or the situation and or punish them to, just be with them and give them what they need to heal, because hurt people hurt people. And you begin to just see things differently, even in the people that have hurt us, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes we hear some of the things Jesus says, and it almost sounds like it's so aspirational. It's so like way above us. Like, well, how could I ever do that? But in some ways, I think Jesus was being very down to earth, and he was just saying, just do this practically. Right. Do this, and I'll start changing your heart. Do this, and we'll start changing things. That, you know, we think, well, we somehow have to get to the point where we're feeling like we're going to do that. Yeah. To do it. But I mean, that's where the Nike thing was, you know, don't wait till you feel like exercising, just do it.
Yeah. Take that little step, whatever that
little
looks
step,
like.
Little step, whatever
it
that
may not be perfection.
Is.
You may want to get all the way over there, but if you take a tiny step forward, you are moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And it just starts moving our spiritual lives forward, but our whole lives forward, because again, Jesus didn't say these things because he wanted to make our lives harder.
Right.
He wanted to make his world better.
Right.
And in the end, our lives better too. That when I learn to actually forgive, to let go of my righteous anger towards this person who is a jerk to me and doesn't deserve it, when I actually start to let go of my anger towards them and forgive them, it frees me.
Yeah.
It frees me. And
well,
so.
No, I agree. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different things that are areas where we're called to just do it, right?
Okay.
Like even I think about my kids and my inability to listen. I'm pretty good like with other people. It's my mom and my kids. I'm sorry. I know you're probably listening to this. Well, no, they're like, yeah, she's telling the truth now, finally. Like, I don't know what it is. Like I go right to, oh, here's what you need to do. Here's how this is fixed, you know, rather than being present and living out what's in James, being quick to listen and slow to speak. Like there's so much wisdom in that. And I just think about how during some of the most pivotal moments in Jesus' life, he was just silent.
Hmm.
And there's so much to be said in that. Or like an amazing rabbi, he would, you know, answer a question with a question to him, because it's in that process of just asking people questions and that curious heart of like, where are you coming from? Explain that more. It helps people feel seen, and it also then reveals things that we really need to see so that we know what's underneath maybe what's going on.
Yeah. Mo, I'm just going to.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what active listening skills are, go Google it and go look at some active listening skills, because learning to be a good listener and listener is profound.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's, you know, and it's interesting because once, if you've been in the presence of somebody who is a good listener, it's felt.
Mm,
it is felt. You almost feel the presence of God. You feel seen in a way that you have never been seen before. And so it's such a gift when we learn how to do that.
Yeah. You know, before we started into this, Mo, you said something to me that I think maybe just, we want to make sure we add this nuance to it. And we're saying it's just do it. Just do what Jesus said. Yeah. We're not saying to deny our feelings, that if we're feeling hurt by this person, that somehow we shouldn't feel that. No, we feel that. That's real. Jesus is not saying, well, don't feel hurt by the person. No, you're going to feel that. But in spite of that, still act this way.
Well, and I think that, you know, as Christians, we have this idea that we have to put this happy, kind facade on, this face, right? It's a fake face because it's not being genuine with how we may be feeling inside. And so I think there's a difference in just doing kind things, but then feeling really ugly inside. And like, what does it look like to assimilate the both? Because, you know, like, okay, I've heard this all the time. It comes out of Romans 5:3-4. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they keep us, they help us develop endurance, right? So, but I hear so many people say, well, you know, my kid just found out, you know, they're addicted to heroin, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord, or I am getting a divorce, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Like they feel this need to say that, right? Or like something must be wrong with me. I, as a good Christian follower of Jesus, should be rejoicing somehow, or should be not feeling as sad or hurt or downtrodden, when it's okay to feel that way, right? It's okay to own that and be like, I feel like shit, but I'm still going to get out of bed. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to put myself in community in different ways. I'm still going to go to my small group because I know that's what's good for me. I'm still going to do that work of doing what Jesus said we need to do, which is to look at the log hanging out of our own eye, which is priceless work, which we often avoid, because it helps us see others correctly, right? Like when we learn what is our lens that we're perceiving the world out of, because so often it's, I love what Pete Scazzaro says. Jesus may be in your heart, but grandpa is in your bones. What we've learned in our family systems, some of the dysfunctional ways of being and surviving and living. Sometimes we unconsciously live that out and project that on other people, you know?
Sure we do.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the ways where I've struggled to live this out, where I know sort of a word from scripture, a word from God that God's calling me to that I've avoided. And that's that great line that I just sort of speak the truth in love. And I think there have been times when, because I can sometimes be a people pleaser, that I have not spoken a truth that's needed to be spoken. I mean, of course, doing it in love and kindness, but I've like, oh, this might hurt the person. So I'm going to, you know, and in the family I grew up in, I like to say tact was our middle name.
Okay.
I mean, we're really good at how do you say things in a way that people can hear, which is a great, great skill.
Yeah.
Unless you take it to the extreme and then you say things and people walk away thinking, oh, isn't that great? And I didn't speak clearly the truth I needed to speak. And I know it has caused problems.
Yeah. Because misunderstandings, I would think.
Well, misunderstandings, but also like some – I think there have been times where God wanted me to speak a truth that someone needed to hear, but I was afraid of how they would react. So I sort of sugarcoated it so much so they never heard and then couldn't wrestle with that. And so I've just had to, how do I learn to not be such a people pleaser and never be mean, but if there's a truth that's God leading me to speak it in love, but also humble myself if there's something I need to hear. But
absolutely,
us people pleasers can get in trouble too.
Here's the space, you know, Kendall, this is a safe, sacred space. So this is a moment when we're all going to see a confession here. Please tell me, what do you really think about me? You've been sugarcoating. So now,
Mo, what do you really want to tell me? I will tell you what I really think. It has been great to have you as a partner.
Oh, see, he's sugarcoating. There's something under there.
No, that is
something
straight,
under there.
Straight truth. Straight truth.
Well, it's funny that you actually.
I mean, you're not perfect or anything. I mean, let's not go overboard, but you've been a great partner. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you too. It is funny that you say that, how that's been kind of your space where you don't just do it, right? You put so much sugar on something, people walk away thinking it's sweet when really they need to be doing some work. And I've actually leaned in the opposite direction because growing up, nobody talked about their feelings. No one shared anything. There were so many secrets and skeletons in the closet. I rebelled against that by opening my big mouth and speaking truth all the time. And it was like, what is she doing? And I mean, the family didn't know what to do with me. And I would do it in public. I would do it. Like, I mean, I wasn't embarrassed. I would just say this crazy stuff. However, what I learned is that that's, you know, we're called to speak truth, but with grace and in love. Mm-hmm. And that looks way different.
Yep.
Like, where are you saying the things you're saying? You know, how are you saying them?
Is it in public or one-on-one?
Yes, yeah, because it's so, you know, it's so easy, especially if we're in a space where we want to defend ourselves with something or we know someone's not saying something that's completely honest. We want to jump in, right? When really, you know, maybe we should just be taking a step back, taking them to the side privately, because that is what we would want, right? Loving our neighbor as ourselves.
It's also what Jesus said in Matthew 18. You know, if someone sinned against you, if you think God's calling you to call them out on that or to say, hey, this hurt, he says, speak to them one-on-one in private when there aren't, you know, when it doesn't get complicated with drawing everyone else in.
Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the other areas when we're thinking about this, just do it anyway.
Yeah.
One of the areas that God has shown me sort of faithfulness in this is around the whole idea of generosity, that has been one of those areas in my life that I was blessed by. My parents sort of taught that to us as kids.
Yeah.
And my brother likes to tell the story of, he goes, that when we got, when as kids, we were getting 25 cents allowance, and he said, And we were putting a dime in the offering plate at church.
I'm impressed. Like, you did that yourself. You put a dime of the – wait, why were you getting 25% or 25 cents? For what, like a whole day? I don't know.
I lived ancient years ago, Mo. I'm an old guy.
Is that fair pay?
No, but as my brother liked to say, he goes, that point I was giving 40% of my income to the Lord. He goes, now I just do 10%. But that the – you know, and so, I mean, it's a joke he's told, but it's that sense that our parents taught us that early on. So
did you ever, did you wrestle with that? Like, I don't want to give my 25 cents. This is only 25 cents. There's a candy store down the street. I can get two pieces of candy with this.
There wasn't a candy store down the street. Right. And B, actually not so much.
No.
And and that's one of those weird places that I have experienced God being faithful in this area. That is, he has led me, that I have sort of said, well, God said in scripture in different places to be generous and practice sort of the tithe throughout my adult life. And, you know, and even when I was crazy kid in college, I wasn't a crazy kid in college, as you've probably alluded to, but I mean, I gave offerings in the church. Yeah.
I would like to see those Polaroids, though. Yeah. Whatever Polaroids you have when you're in college.
But as I've done that, I have seen that God is faithful, and that for me, that do it anyway. Whether you think like, I don't know how I can afford this, I don't know if I should do this. I have found that as I have done that, I have experienced God being faithful and providing.
Yeah, God has always provided, but when I've done it as well, right? And at first I justified not doing it for a really long time. And then, you know, and it was a struggle and it was hard. And God has always provided. But what I've loved, what that practice has done for me, it's allowed me to detach from something that very much can become my God. Money. You know, you could do a lot with money. It embodies and symbolizes power and privilege and the ability to do things. And I just, it's helped me detach from it. It's a real spiritual practice because it's hard to let go.
Yeah.
You know, when that offering bucket went around, I just held on tight. Like, no, I don't have to. No, you don't want to look like a jerk. So sometimes when I was young, I would pretend to put something in there. Did you guys do that too? Or am I alone here? You know, and sometimes my mom would look, oh wait, I've seen people do that. That's a whole nother level. I'm like, seriously? Okay.
I do think that there is words from scripture that come to us that we, you know, and it's always easier to apply scripture to other people's lives.
Right.
But to hear the things that Jesus says to us, to read the things in scriptures and to say, what if God really meant that? Yeah. Now I know I'm not going to the places where I think Jesus used hyperbole, where he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Yeah. That was hyperbole. I think that's what he was trying to say. Take sin seriously. So
but I feel like we should preach that as though it's like literal. That'd be fun to watch everyone's faces just to see, you know. Please, they would think it's a joke if I did it. But if you did it, just keep a straight face. It'll be good. It'll be so good.
I am not into horror movies, so no, we're not going there. But I think there are verses and there are things that Jesus says. There are things in scripture throughout where if we actually took them seriously, if we just did it, if we do it anyway, we would discover actually greater peace, a world more fully changed, our own lives in a better place. God would change our own hearts. As we walked in that, whether we felt like it or not.
I think way more than that. Too bad I'm Episcopalian because I don't know scripture like the Baptists do, so I can't spit it out. Like, this is where it comes from. But where if we only knew what God had for those who had in store for those who loved him, right? Like, if we only knew, we don't fathom it. And if we lived into the ways of God in the world in all facets of our life, I bet our life would be unimaginable. It would be amazing. It would be far better than we could even create ourselves. And yet we so often like to take back and like lord over our own lives. Like, Jesus, thanks. I got this for a little bit, you know, and it is. It's hard to live into that. Speaking of scripture and just seeing how people persevere and still do the things that they should be doing, I think of characters, right? And so I love one who people often don't think of. I love Leah. Mm. I love how she is this poor, forgotten sister. All we know about the poor girl, she's got some kind of like, you know, lazy eye. That's what it says, lazy eye. But like, actually it's really intriguing because it means like almost there could be a vision problem. And she begins her journey, right? Her father, she has to feel worthless because her father didn't even collect or receive a dowry for her, right? Just handed her over to Jacob. And then he was upset he even had her. And she was praying out and crying to God to be able to have sons because she so desperately wanted him to love her. And just all these things she was doing, but she continued to seek God, right? And her vision, it's like you can watch her vision getting better. So she had weak eyes, like she didn't see the world quite right, and it just became better the longer she was drawing closer to God. And then all of a sudden you see this shift where she no longer is trying to find worth or fulfillment in her husband's love, but she's satisfied in the love of God. Mm. And God goes on to bless her in ways she'd never imagine. Yeah. She's the one who's buried with Jacob in honor, right? In the burial tomb where the wife should go. And poor Rachel, the one he's absolutely in love with, gets buried somewhere on the side of the road. She gets... oh my goodness, that's the line Jesus came through, right? Is her. So it's like, it's just beautiful. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I think you do see when there's faithfulness is honored and blessed.
Yeah.
And not always in material ways, but there is a peace that comes from it.
Absolutely.
Of knowing that you are walking in the right path.
Yeah. I would love to ask those watching or those listening, if you would like to comment, let us know some of the spaces that you have been able to persevere. You've been able to do the right thing regardless of how hard it's been. Whether you comment or you can email us at unpackingtruths.com. We would love to hear these stories. All right. Well,
sounds
I think
good.
This is it. Just
until
do
next
it.
Week.
Just do it.
Just do it.
All right. Next time on Unpacking Truths. Yeah, so I couldn't imagine what it was like to not only try to figure out and wrestle what it looks like to look like Christ in the context of relationships, parenting, how I spend my money, but then do it publicly.
Yeah.
In the light of for everyone to see, and you can all judge me and, you know, comment and put out videos and throw all over social media how you think I'm, you know, missing the mark or I'm fake or whatever it is, or messy, or, you know, all these judgments. It's just, I think it takes so much courage to do something like that.
Thanks for tuning in. If anything we said brought up any questions or ideas, let's keep the conversation going in the comments below or email us at unpackingtruths@locchurch.com.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe so we can continue helping people unpack God's truth for their lives.